football all the time. You're listening to the best football show, hosted by Brian Baldinger.
Oh, baby, you know what that means. You know what that animation means. This is the best football show, and I am Brian Baldinger. I'm Baldy NFL. Just come find me. We got big news today. Oh, by the way, you can download this podcast for free on your Odyssey app. Like it, subscribe to it. Tell your friends, tell your enemies all about it, because we got good news today. It's good news because I'm a champion and have been a champion of the tush push, of the Philly shove. Nick Sirianni brought it to Philadelphia. Nick Sirianni, is just got a new contract. One of the reasons why he got a new contract is they put this play in and they've perfected a play. Let me just tell you something to all the detractors out there. This to the Philadelphia Eagles is not a gimmick play. It's not a rugby scrum. In fact, in talking to both coaches and players about the play, they spend as much time on this play as any other play in the playbook. They walk through it. They talk about it. They watch it on film. They practice it incessantly, and they have no fear of using it in the game and all the kinds of permutations about it. It is game planned weekly and worked on weekly. If you want to perfect a play, then practice it. Like, get the five P's. Prior preparation prevents poor performance. So you purveyors of the tush push that can't quite get it right, practice it better. Learn about it. Study physics. It's a play of simple physics. I can explain it to you in high school physics terms, but it's not. I don't need to go there. Today, in a vote where the league needed 24 votes to cancel the play, they only got 22. Well, they got 22. It was 22 to 10 was the vote. They needed 24 votes to cancel it. They didn't get it. The play lives on. As Lane Johnson put out there today, pushing forward. And I'm glad it is. I think more teams can use it, can figure it out. Might help them stay on the field, convert third downs, fourth downs. I will say this. At one point when this play was incredibly becoming popular a couple years ago, I cornered offensive line coach Jeff Stoutland before a game at the Meadowlands against the Giants. And I asked him about the play. And he, like Jeff Stoutland often will, doesn't always give you straight answers. Sometimes he makes you work for the answers. And I respect that about Coach Stoutland. But he said, you know, Baldy, before we had the tush push, we had Carson Wentz here. And when Carson Wentz was the quarterback in Philadelphia, we went 36 for 38 converting quarterback sneaks. It's basically a quarterback sneak. Jalen Hurts gets most of his conversions off a quarterback sneak. Sometimes you'll get A.J. Brown or you'll get Dallas Goedert or you'll get somebody pushing from behind to keep the momentum going. I've talked to officials about how to officiate the play because it seems like how do you actually know when the momentum of a ball carrier stops? And the league officials told me that they're supposed to blow the whistle if the ball carrier starts turning sideways. If you remember, Josh Allen in a playoff game did not convert a tush push, and he started going sidelines. They blew the whistle, as they were supposed to do. It's interesting. When Bill Belichick was still coaching in New England, he had his players at the goal line, his cornerbacks at the goal line, block the cameras at the pylon so they could not see where the ball was. I mean, that's Bill Belichick, all right? Legal play. Don't let the cameras capture it. Let the umpire make the decision. So there's a lot there. There's a lot to unpack, but the play lives on. And I'm glad it is. It's not a gimmick. It's not a rugby scrum. It's a play. It's no different than Kyle Shanahan running the outside, Mike Shanahan running the outside zone in Denver with Alex Gibbs better than anybody else. They did at that time. It's really no different to me. You get a play, you draw the play up, and you perfect the play. It can be the zone pressure that the Pittsburgh Steelers created. Bud Carson created back in the 70s. It's not a whole lot. Are you going to outlaw that ability to get to a quarterback? Rex Ryan getting free hitters to the quarterback and taking Tom Brady out of a playoff game. Not taking him out physically. I'm just saying beating Tom Brady in a playoff game by getting free hitters to him. I don't know. I don't think it's that much different. Like, some teams were just very good at the onside kick. Do you want to eliminate the onside kick? They're making changes to the onside kick right now. You, as long as you're behind, you can declare an onside kick right now. You have to declare it, let people know that you're doing it. But if you're behind in a game and you want an onside kick after a score, you're going to have that right to do it. Some teams are going to get really good at it. You watch. Some teams are going to get really good at taking kickoffs back for a touchdown, like the Arizona Cardinals did last year. You want to outlaw that? We want the kickoff return of football. That's why they're making changes and playing with it right now. So the tush push, the Philly shove, moves forward. Let's get to the next news. In San Francisco, we know this week that they just signed Brock Purdy last Friday to a how much money did they sign him to? $53 million a year contract, 5 years, $265 million, whatever it was. I mean, it's the going freight for a starting quarterback. But the 49ers reward their players. It's why they're a premier franchise in this business and why teams and players want to go play there. Now, they've got a schedule that will allow them to bounce back, but they just gave Fred Warner a new contract, a 3-year contract, all right? Fred Warner right now is going to make $63 million over the next 3 years, $21 million a year, $56 million guaranteed. The highest paid linebacker in the history of football. And from where I stand and from what I watch, and I watch every single 49er game, Fred Warner's the best linebacker in football and has been. I'll tell you a story. I was doing a Minnesota Vikings San Francisco 49er game at US Bank Stadium to open up the 2018 season. And I saw John Lynch, the general manager, down the field before the game. And I asked him who his starting Mike linebacker is going to be, because there was some question when Fred Warner was drafted in the third round out of BYU. And he said, Baldy, since the second week of the season, Fred Warner has been our starting Mike linebacker. Now, they had other guys that they had drafted there in the first round. Fred Warner won the job. Now, here's what's the most interesting thing to me about Fred Warner. He started 127 straight games. He's never missed a start for the 49ers. 115 regular season games. Every single start since 2018 and that victory against Minnesota at US Bank Stadium. He's played in 12 playoff games. The 49ers are 8-4 in those playoff games, including two trips to the Super Bowl. He started every single postseason game, all 12. 127 straight games. But it gets even better than that, because I've gotten to know Fred Warner over the years. He started every single game at BYU, never missed a start. He started every single game in high school, never missed a start. Fred Warner has never missed a starting assignment since he started playing football. It's the most amazing stat that you could tell about any player at any position. So now the 49ers have extended Brock Purdy, extended Fred Warner, after paying Brandon Ayuk last year and Trent Williams, and 2 years ago paying Christian McCaffrey, or I guess last year paying Christian McCaffrey. In addition to playing, making George Kittle the highest paid tight end, I think, in football, Ayuk, one of the highest paid receivers in football, Christian McCaffrey, and then on defense, rewarding Nick Bosa 2 years ago before the start of the 2023 season, and now Fred Warner. For the second time, they have extended him. That's Brock Purdy, George Kittle, Trent Williams, Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk. Kyle Juszczyk. Is he the highest paid fullback in football? Fred Warner, Nick Bosa. Those are six of the highest paid players at their positions. They're tapped out, but they've been able to do it. Now they have to go back to winning football games and getting back to the playoffs. All right, let's get back to other news that broke yesterday. Flag football for both men and women is now going to be an Olympic sport. Congratulations. The popularity of the sport is growing worldwide. The NFL has been a big part of it, but there's other flag football leagues out in California, Nevada, Arizona, where it is immensely popular. In fact, I do breakdowns on the Blue Chip Flag Football League all over California for both boys and girls, all ages. It's incredible. In fact, I'm helping to try to put together a national network that's going to televise flag football. It is being played. Look, I coached and I did American football broadcast in Europe for 10 years for NFL Europe. Lived in London, lived in Germany, lived in Barcelona, lived in Amsterdam, in all those cities as we broadcasted games back to America on Fox and NFL Network. And during the week, I would teach clinics to kids. And some of them were flag football. Some of them were blocking, tackling. I coached a football team in Italy, professional football team, the Italian League of American Football. Coached a team in Bergamo, the Bergamo Lions. I've been over in Europe working with football for 20 years. There is a groundswell. And it's one of the reasons why we have 7 international games right now. Being played in Dublin and Madrid and Germany, in Berlin this year at Olympic Stadium Berlin, where I've done NFL Europe games over there. And that's an iconic stadium that hosted the Olympic Games in 1936. Jesse Owens, as you remember, 4 gold medals. Anyways, flag football is an Olympic sport. NFL players are going to be able to play. Now, the league will take all the attention for it, rightfully so. They want to expand the game and make it a global sport. It's honorable to do that. I do think they need to put even more muscle behind it and really put their money where their mouth is and really helping to grow the sport, because it is a great introductory to the great game of American football by playing flag football. And I see girls playing it. I did breakdowns for Good Morning Football for 2 straight years, flag football, player of the week, all these different things. And some of the girls that were playing were amazing, amazing athletes. They love it. So I think it's phenomenal and fantastic. Seeing Justin Jefferson with the commissioner yesterday was great, great for the sport. But I do think the league needs to get behind it even more. And I mean, it could be as simple as providing footballs, providing uniforms, like for free. Just look, the league is making money hand over fist. The equipment should be free. The footballs should be free. They want to start, I'm from Massapequa, Long Island. They want to start a flag football league in Massapequa. Massapequa Flag Football League should be able to go to the league on Park Avenue and say, we need X amount of T-shirts, hats, safety helmets, footballs, and they should provide. That's what I think. I don't think that they should be looking to make money off of this. They should be looking to spread the goodwill of football and everything that they benefit by it. So I would hope that the league would listen to what I have to say on this podcast here and actually support it. Support it with equipment, with money, with coaches, with coaching training, safety, all those kind of things should be part of the Olympic push to 2028. They were very good at putting the league in Europe, where NFL officials all got trained. Broadcasters like myself, Troy Aikman, Bill Moss, a bunch of guys got a chance to get trained. People in the production truck like Rich Russo, who does, you know, the number one team of Tom Brady right now, and Kevin, you know, that they actually, you know, benefit by Rich Russo learning his trade in Europe. I mean, it benefited so many coaches, general managers, all got their start over there in a lot of cases. So anyways, it's fantastic that it's going to be Olympic sport. I just hope that the league really puts their muscle behind it and really supports it, because they can do a lot for this, and not just in America. They've got the international program. My good friend, Maurice Jones-Drew, went over to Ghana, I think last year, the year before, scouting talent. They've been to South Africa. Obviously, Jordan Malata out of Australia. All kinds of European venues have pushed into the international program. Jordan Malata is the biggest name, all-pro left tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles, rugby player, now a Pro Bowl player for the Eagles. But this is good. This is a good sign. This is great for the growth of American football, America's game. So congratulations to the league for their push in making this and helping make this a international sport and an Olympic sport. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. All right, everybody, thanks for watching this edition of the Best Football Show. I will be back here soon to talk about more news. I can't wait to start getting, I just got invitations from teams to come out to their OTAs and their practices. I plan on doing that maybe starting next week. Love to give you some insight to what I see when I'm out there and let you know what's going on in some of these camps. All right. Thanks for joining me, everybody. And I will talk to you real soon.